Okay, Rabosai. If you remember, we're in the middle of this Agadta about Hordos and Bava ben Bukta. So let's take it from the top of the Dalet. Right? Ahadali Kliva Diyali Nakrina Le'ene. Right? Somehow Hordos poked out Bava ben Bukta's eyes and blinded him. Yomachad Asama Yosukai. One day he came and sat in front of Bava ben Bukta, but in Karmito. Right? Did Rebbe see this Avdid, Eben Ra, meaning Hordos, doing? He sort of criticized himself as a test. Amarlay, my Avdid, says, what can I do about him? Amarlay, Malagimai, why don't you curse him? Amarlay, Siv, Gambamadach, Melech, Al Tikalel, right? Good advice. So, hello, right, even in your mind, even privately, don't curse a king. I'm really hell on balance. I mean, he's not a king, he's a slave. So it's interesting the girl's fun here. It's 2 days wife on a melech. After all, he was the king. If you ask any historian, Hordos was a king. He means he's not halachically a melech. Why was he not halachically a melech? So the reason it could be for the reason I mentioned earlier, mikaravachecha tasim alecha melech, that he's not mikaravachecha, as Tosus points out here. That there are all darshan that that you can't even be an eved, and the rochonin is masukah. Thinks the machlokes you've shown him is that ma'akin to be eved or not. Clearly, really, you can't make an eved a melech. That could be eved, make him not a melech. So he says maybe for the eved, but he's not a melech. Or his other possibility was maybe he's not a melech because not because of mikaravachecha, but because of simalech, tasimalech. Meaning, in order to be melech, the people have to appoint you. You can't take the malchus by force. And here, he stole the malchus by force, and the people never agreed to it, and never agreed to appoint him. Okay, so these 2 days, why he wasn't a melech, either because ma'akib b'dievet, that he doesn't have good yichas, or because he took the malchus by force, and som tasimalech melech, it has to have the will of the people behind him. But in any case, he's not a melech. Okay, but let him just be rich, certainly rich. Also says it well not to curse a rich person. See, argues is said or either just rich or he's just a nasi, not a melech. And it says in the Torah, nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or. Hordos, who was disguised, says back to him, I love Ma'osa Ma'isa Amcha. He said, no, but there's a famous Rosh Chazal, V'nasi Ba'amcha, only Ba'osa Ma'isa Amcha. Here he's not Osa Ma'isa Amcha. He's not acting properly, and therefore there's no Isser of Klala. Amalei says, nonetheless, Mr. Fina Minei, I'm afraid. Amalei, Leke Inish Da'azol Da'lemalei, Da'anavahat Yisimni. He says, but there's no one to come tell him. It's just me and you, and apparently it's too minutes, and there's someone else. Amalei, Sivki, Ovish Ramayim, Yolos, Lekol, Valkan, Ophayim, Yagig, Bavar, back to Koheles. Right, the birds will tell, meaning love the birds, some it will spread back. Amrle Anahu, he says it's me, Amrle Hordos, he have a yadana, Zahir Rabbani Kol Hayah, if I had known the rabbis were so careful, lo hava ketil neluhu, I wouldn't have killed them. Now he read to kill all the rabbis, he saw that they were really careful, and he didn't have to be afraid of them. He considered that a threat to his reign. Now he saw that they would have behaved. Now, Harry Gavra's himself, how can I make up for my misdeed? Okay, I just want to point out that it's not exactly clear in the Shach Matari the Gemara if he's not a melech, right? Basically said he's not a halos melech. He's not either because mochash bechecha is ma'akeh or because som tassin is ma'akeh. And no one made the kid, or the people that make the kid. So he says, he's still usher. That's true. He's still talking usher, even if he's not a melech. And then he says, he's still a nasi. What makes him a nasi if he's not a melech? Rochan is also bothered by here. If he's not, an usher is an usher. But if he's not a chalos melech, then what makes him a chalos nasi? It's not exactly clear what what the definition of nasi is.
Well, when a king
prints
the ritual.
Okay, and it's also out of order, which I guess we could live with. Which I guess we could live with, but it's still funny. Sorry. So it's not exactly the word of Nasi is in the Nasi Ba'am Chalosar, right? Who is this Nasi, the Nasi Ba'am Chalosar? Is it only a king? The Rambam and the Chinuch say it's a king or the Nasi Sanhedrin. The Mishnah Chinuch discusses whether a Nasi Sheva rules are qualified. But like, what makes it? He's clearly not the Nasi of Sanhedrin. You know, he's not, if he wasn't a king, he wasn't anything else. So it's a little unclear what makes him a Nasi. So the truth is that the Yad Ramah has much better girsa. I don't know if anyone noticed, Yad Ramah just has a different girsa in the story. The conversation went differently. The Yad Ramah's girsa solves all the problems. A, if he's not a king, he's not a Nasi. B, why is the order king, usher, Nasi, when I guess it should have been king, Nasi, usher? C, why does he quote two psukim from Kohelis and then a pasuk from the Torah? Usually you quote a pasuk from the Torah and four pasuk from Kohelis, which is not the end of the world. Anyway, he has a different girsa. He says, I'll tell you his girsa, right? He doesn't have the part about v'lo yehi ela nasi. Sorry, I'll just get his girsa. Apologize, one second. According to us, Bob Ben Buta said v'lo yehi ela nasi. He does not have that part. He did not have that part at all. He just has that Bob Ben Buta says Lo Yehi Ela Usher. And then Horda says, Baksiv and Nasi Ba'amcha Lo Sa'ar Ba'osamaisa Amcha. It's only Hordas who brought in the Pasuk of Nasi, just to say, what do you mean you shouldn't curse him? Because what it says in Koheles, isn't it Mutter cursing? Because he's not Osamaisa Amcha, and it's not from the Torah that's Mutter cursing. And he says back to him, it's mutter to curse him, Midoraisa, but it's still bad advice to curse him because the psukim in Koheles are not telling you what's usher to do. That's giving you advice that you don't want the person to take revenge on you. So according to the Yad Ramah's girsa, it would go, and Bob Ben Buta finishes. Then Horda says back to him, ksev nasi ba'am chalot so'or, without the word Amalei, but also Ma'itza Amcha. Okay, so no one ever suggested he was a Nasi. Nasi was just the Heikitens, but also Ma'itza Amcha. But he was saying he's not a Nasi. No one said he was a Nasi. He's just also Ma'itza Amcha. And the order is Melech and Usher, and then they bring also Ma'itza Amcha. In our Girsa, it's a little funny. Why is he a Nasi if he's not a Melech? I think it could be what you have to say is there's that, you know, what's the halos of Nasi? The Rambam says a melech or nasi sanhedrin. He wasn't a melech. He just said he wasn't a melech and clearly wasn't a nasi sanhedrin. Yeah, I think nasi doesn't specifically mean melech or nasi sanhedrin because what would be one word that would be a melech or nasi sanhedrin? Nasi just means someone who is in a position of national power. Nasi means someone who's in a position of national power, and therefore, even if you're not a chalos anything, the whole point is a nasi can be two things, the king or nasi sanhedrin, because it's not a chalos anything. Just a general category for anyone who's a leader of the nation. And even though he wasn't Chalos Melech, he was still a leader of the nation because before he was a Melech, and therefore he counted as a Nasi. So I think if you take our Gersa, you have to be Mechadish, that Nasi is not a specific Chalos position. Nasi is a general category of a national leader, and he was still a general national leader, even though he wasn't Chalos Melech. Okay, so that's the two different Gersos, whether he's a Nasi or not. But in any case, let's go weiter in the story. Hordas felt bad for killing all the rabbis and asked what he should do. Relay two versions. First is who cover Oros Shel Olam, so it's near Mitzvah Torah Or, right? Focusing on, there are two ways to focus on his Aveir. He killed all the Chacham. Killing all the Chachamim is killing the Chachamim and is also extinguishing the light of Torah. The first version is focused on the Torah. He put out the light of Torah and says, Or Yeluch Yatzim Or Shel Olam. So therefore, the only way to go for it would be the Or Shel Olam. And what's the Or Shel Olam? Based on Meitzes Venorei Love Kol HaGoyim. Meaning the Torah is Or. It's some divine illumination, some presence, divine presence of this world. So he has to bring the work on the divine presence of this world, which is the Beis HaMikdash.
Why wasn't the suggestion that he should somehow encourage the learning of Torah and reinstate the Chachamim?
My assumption is that he didn't. He wasn't. My assumption. He wasn't anti-Yochas, and he wasn't Gzeiras Bar Kochba. He didn't outlaw learning of Torah. And, you know, he didn't outlaw learning of Torah. Whoever wanted to learn Torah still learned Torah. He just killed all the big chacham. There were still kids learning Torah who would grow up to be chacham someday. So there was nothing to fix there. There were already people trying to learn Torah and become chacham. If you can't bring back the chacham who were already killed, so he didn't know how to do it to be a Samasin. So therefore, the only option is the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Ikadami Hachay, some people say a different angle. Who's Sima Eino Shalom? He blinded the eyes of the world. The Chachamim, not focused on the Torah, focused on the Chachamim. Obviously, the one bring the Torah, like the eyes see the light. So he should try to improve the eyes of the world. And means the Beis HaMikdash, maybe focusing on two different, one focus on the aspects of nature and the Shechina itself, and the other focus on the aspects of Mikdash, it is Machmad Einechem, as a way for us to connect to Hashem, just like the Chum, or a way to lead us, maybe it's an influence on us. Okay, in any case, Amarli Mistafim Malchus, I'm afraid of the Roman government, they will be mad at me if I rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Amarli, he gave him advice, Shtar Shlich of Alezel Shat Le'akar Shat Le'akar Shat Go send a Shlich, ask the permission. Let him spend a year on the road, wait there a year to get permission, and take a year to come back. And meanwhile, in 3 years, you can do this project, no problem. That's what he did. The people in Rome sent a message, they weren't stupid. And most of the Hitler, if you didn't, just demolish it, don't demolish it. If you already demolished it, don't rebuild it. And if you already demolished it, rebuild it, which they knew he did. Yeah, they knew the trick. Avde Bisha. You are an Eved Bisha, exactly what he called himself. Baser de Avdin, but they didn't mean Eved, like his Yechus was Eved. They couldn't care about that. I mean, you're our Eved, right? We're the Roman Senate. You are supposed to be our Eved, and you're an evil Eved who undermines the master. Baser de Avdin, after you do something, you ask permission. And Zayin Chalach, even if your weapons are on you, Sifrach Khan, your safer is here, meaning you might have power, you have weapons, you think you're great, but you're your book of origin, Rashi says here, I think, your Sefer Yuchsin is here. And we know, Loraka Vitlo Baraka, you are not a king nor son of a king. You think you're a king, you have no Yichus. Hordas Avda, Klan Yemis Avid. Really, Hordas the slave became free, made himself free, right? Then there Ravaza his Yichus. My Raka, what does Raka mean? Well, it means Rachusa de Sevi, Onochi, Rach, Umashuach, Melech, the Remes. Even though the word Rachter is young, it's a remez that it means malchus. The Baitem Bihacham, a Yikon of one of Avrich, which is clearly a lotion of malchus. Okay, Amri, back to our topic. Mishla Rav Binyan Hordos, Lorav Binyan Nal Bigama, right? It's really true, right? Binyan Hordos, our kotel is from Binyan Hordos, right? The Beit HaMikdash, that's just the background. But it is quite impressive, like I said. Right, with all the technology, the code is very impressive. He also made a lot of other nice things, like, you know, Harudia and Masada and Marisol Pela. Very impressive things, but none of them compared to Beis HaMikdash. But my body, how do you build it? Amar Rabba, Avne Shisha Umarmara. With Shisha Maimara, what we call Shayish, with different colors of marble, right? Green and white marble. Ikadam Rabbi Kukla Shisha Umarmara, blue and green and white. Apek Safa Bayat Safa, he had like some of it go a little further out and some of it go a little further in. Kihechim Nakbil Sida, in order to accept it so that the line would stick on it and not fall off. Sarva Lamishi Bidava, he thought to coat it with gold to make it even better. Amalir Abana Shavki, the Hakshav Faith, leave it like it is because it's better, these colors than gold. Domestic Yidvasa Yam, it looks like the waves of the sea, and that is more awe inspiring than just gold, which looks fancy. Again, it's important to point out that we have Masora, right? So the waves of the sea are not just a fancy, fancy thing, but they have a more spiritual, give a more spiritual experience than gold. Okay, above Barbuta, now the Gemara is a separate kasha. We finished the story. Heki Avid Hachmi. How can he give advice to Hordas? Bamar Rabbi Yehuda Ravi, Tamer Rabbi Shuvan Leim, Neiman Nenesh Daniel, why is Daniel punished? He gave good advice to Nebuchadnezzar. Shenemar lehen malka malki shapar lach. Talk with Sachov Kifrok Rabisach v'mechan andi and hein tevi arka l'shalvosa. He Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He's afraid of losing his kingdom, and he said, "Redeem your sins with tzedakah, and redeem your wrongdoings with giving money, gracing poor people, Again, another way of saying it's tzedakah. And then you'll have a longer period of prosperity in your kingdom. Instead, all these bad things happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but 12 months later, meaning it worked. Not going to get out of the punishment. He had an article to Shalhusar, right? He got another 12 months before he was punished. So, and we have Masorah, Daniel was punished. The Gemara explained how to be punished. So, if Daniel was punished for giving good advice to Nebuchadnezzar, then why could Bava Ben Guta give good advice to Gordas? Because same as Shani Abdachai Mitzvah, maybe it's different. Nebuchadnezzar was a guy, not Chayim Mitzvah. Gordas was an Evid, Evid was Chayim Mitzvah. Therefore, he had to give him good advice to his Chayim Mitzvah. So, if you say, Ma Shani be a Mikdash. Or no, his good advice to Nebuchadnezzar was to give money to poor people. But you know what? Other people could have given money to poor people. But the Bisa Mitzvah is different. Dilo Malchus, Lo Mitzvah. It's not for the king. No one else can improve the Bisa Mikdash. And therefore, even though he shouldn't have given good advice to Hordus, it was worth it because that was the only way to get the Beis HaMikdash improved.
Was there a problem with the Beis HaMikdash that needed improvement? Or is this purely... No,
it wasn't impressive. When Hordus built the Beis HaMikdash, it was one of the most impressive buildings in the world. You have to have perspective. Like, it wasn't just like Jewish impressive. It was like worldwide impressive. Like people all over the world talked about Hordus Beis HaMikdash. It was tremendous Kiddush and Fat. Local temple. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's necessary, but it really made a rush on Daniel. We know this. How do we know Daniel was punished? But while we start asking why he was punished, he language and it's going to take Esther Lahasach and we darshan Amr of Hasach says Daniel. Hasach means Daniel. Hani, but why is Daniel called Hasach? Lemanda Amr Shechatchu Migdulaso. Hani, right? If Daniel is called Hasach because they cut him off from his Gedula and fired him, and that's the punishment. Elamad is a cult of your mouth, and that's talking about him. But Adrava, some people say Daniel was called Hasach because he's the one who cut and made the decision for all the Jibreel Malachas, so he was not punished. So Michael Mamer, so what was his punishment? What you say? The Shadir, look over Dari Vasa, right? We all know Hasach. Based on the Bible story, they threw him in the lion's den, but he wasn't eaten by the lion. Very experienced, and that counts as a punishment. Okay, just one philosophical question that the Mephorshim asked here is, the assumption more is clear. Maybe according to one day, an evidence is an exception. Okay, maybe according to one day, a pressing need is an exception. But all else being equal, you're not allowed to advise someone. You're not allowed to advise, let's say, a guy, right? A guy for short, right? Evidence maybe 2 days. You're not allowed to advise a guy to do a mitzvah. Okay, right? And you get punished for advising a guy to do a mitzvah. It's very peculiar because I understand. There's no chiyuv of arvas for goyim, man. You're not chiyuv to go and get all the goyim to do mitzvahs. But what's so bad about trying to make people more, trying to improve the world, right? Meaning, we're not talking about the modern liberal usage of tikkun olam, right? Like in the outside non-Orthodox world where tikkun olam means the religious value of getting the world to be against the Torah. But this is like authentic Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam Malchus Shakai, right? You're teaching people to do mitzvahs that are good things according to the Torah. So why would that be a bad thing? It's very, you know, the Mefarshim should be bothered by this. Why would it be bad to give someone advice to do mitzvahs? It's great if people do mitzvahs. And Anakanami, it could be that. Giving tzedakah to poor people is not one of Shiva mitzvahs they know. So Nebuchadnezzar wasn't technically chayav in it. But we all know the goyim should give tzedakah, right? I mean, the story of stone, they were goyim, and they were punished for not giving tzedakah, right? I mean, there are basic moral values that Hashem wants goyim to do, right? Not like if you're telling the goyim to take a little over, maybe. It has no spiritual value for a goyim. Giving tzedakah is a good thing, right? If people in stone had given tzedakah, they would have been better off. So this should bother the Mefarshim, right? Did it? What is bad about telling people to be good? We want people to be good. So I think there are three answers to the Mefarshim. The Meir is very clearly bothered by this, right? The Meir says, he's most explicitly bothered by this. He says, of course we want people to be good. This is, however, and he makes a crazy okimta. Says there's a unique exception. We know that the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, there are rare occurrences, which the Rambam's shot in Parsha Shmos, the Erebo, and the hardening of Paro's heart,
that sometimes people do such big averus, the Rambam says, tshuva, that Hashem is goes there, it must speak of the other lasses tshuva. Hashem is goes there, they shouldn't do tshuva. That doesn't mean it's impossible for them to do tshuva, but it means that Hashem tries to make sure they don't do tshuva. So the Ibi says, when Hashem made a gzeira in this unique, exceptional cases that a person deserved an onesh of ein maspikim the other lasos tshuva, then you shouldn't advise them to do mitzvahs because Hashem doesn't want them to do tshuva. And somehow he had to, what's the okenta? Bava ben Buta knew that the averos of Hordos were the unique kind of averos that ein maspikim the other lasos tshuva. And Daniel knew the averos of Nebuchadnezzar was the unique kind of averos that ein maspikim the other lasos tshuva, which is not so crazy because they did unique averos, meaning why was Paro ein maspikim the other lasos tshuva? Because he enslaved the whole Jewish people about what was Parech and et cetera, et cetera. Right? Through the baby boys in the river. And Hordas killed all the Chachamim. That's also power level. Mm-hmm. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Mekdash and killed all the Jews and brought them into Golas Babel. That's also power level. Okay, so the Meir said, no, of course a Stam guy who's, you know, of the Averos and, you know, worships of Abizara and whatever, you should try to get into it further and do more mitzvahs. It's only a unique exception of, like, world-class, like, top 10 history villains who are having special Xavier aim must be Yodel Asos Tshuva. The Kiddush and the theory that we thought only Hashem understands this in the Yodel Asos Tshuva. The theory states that even people should sometimes be able to figure out when Hashem wants Xavier aim must be Yodel Asos Tshuva. That's the Meiri. That's one. I think the Evermah being Murami is a different answer. Who says it?
The Evermah.
No, okay, but the Evermah adds some words here that I think are significant. What does the Evermah add? I think he adds some words. He says, Shmamino, we learned from this, going to Oikli Yisrael, a guy who oppresses the Jews, also Lachtuvi Eitzim Evdar Mitzvah. You can't give advice to do a mitzvah. Okay, and that's only if you don't need him to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, or if he's not an Edmund. I noticed he added something, going to Oikli Yisrael, a guy who oppresses the Jews. I think the Rama's also bothered by this. Since when do we not want people to be better people and do mitzvahs? I think the Rama's trying to answer this. If a guy is just a Rasha, then of course we wanted to do more mitzvahs and we want to improve the world. But this is the case of a guy who oppressed the Jews. We don't understand Hashem's kishmonos, they must be the last of Kedah. That's not going to be accessed. But an enemy, someone who killed us, right? Nebuchadnezzar killed us, and Hordas killed us. Maybe he killed the Chacham, Someone killed us, that's an enemy. We want people to be better, but we want the enemies to be punished. We don't want the enemies to have zechuyos. Right? So, we want people to be better in general. Everyone doesn't have Eva. We don't say we never want them to have zechuyos. But, okay, there's such thing as a loyalty and knowing who's our friend, who's our enemy, and maybe the Yamanah sees that this specific rule about people who kill the Jews. People who oppress and kill the Jews, for them, we want them to go to hell without any zechuyos. In general, in the world, we want people to be better. Yeah, but some people, you don't want to give Hitler zechuyos. You don't want to help Hitler get zechuyos and earn a reward in Shemayim. Okay, some people are enemies, and we just want to punish them.
What would be I would maybe say the opposite of the theory that if the person is extraordinarily terrible, let's say they're like the world leader of Karo, it's most important that they change their ways more so than random judges. Because it'll actually make an impact on the world.
But the Meiri thinks it's overridden by Hashem's zero being speaking of the other last was true.
It's so myopic to think that I care about some.
And I apologize. It's not your fault. It's my fault that this gets philosophical. Then this gets into the whole philosophical question of, you know, am I responsible for running the world, or is Hashem responsible for running the world? Right? You know, the Beis Halevi Sekira. And that Baruch Hanna talks about in the back of the Kovetz Aros, you know, do we give money to poor people to help the poor people? Or no, Hashem takes care of the poor people. We just do it because that's our mitzvah, etc. Okay, Kitzur, my answer to you is, you say, why shouldn't we try to get Pari to do good? Why shouldn't we get Nebuchadnezzar your money to Aniyam? After all, he's the king. If he helps Aniyam, that's improving the world much more than anyone else. So I think the answer is because Hashem runs the world. And if he wants Nebuchadnezzar to not do tshuva,
also be some to try to get the top more views. That would be something that.
Okay. Anyway, we're both sides.
There's no way to be here. He thinks that. There's no way.
And you can think there's no way whatever you want. That's what he said. Right? He says, even being the other one. But based on the Rambam, the Rambam will take us to the other one. The Chiddush Meir is just that we can know.
Okay. God doesn't let them do tshuva. We can't make them do tshuva. Anyways, if God really does stop them, then what?
But if God doesn't want them to do tshuva, then we don't want them to do tshuva. Sounds reasonable. Okay, the Rambam seems to have another answer, which is really much more calmer than everyone else's. Because the Meiri says very, very limited case. And even the Rambam has a limited case. Someone who oppresses the Jews. Okay, there aren't. Most people don't oppress the Jews. But the Rambam says, notice, he doesn't even so much on the Mandam or Evid. He must be someone on the Mandam raised in Egypt. But feel if the Eitza Shiatza Bar Mitzvah, even if you tell him to do it Bar Mitzvah, who only permission, but he's going to stay in Russia, is Usher. And then he says that Daniel was only thrown into the lion's den because he gave Nebuchadnezzar, he obviously holds like the lion's den, Nisnasa, he was tested, sounds like the lion's den. Anyway, what the Rambam's shot? I think the Rambam has a big chiddush here. I know this is a big chiddush. It says you shouldn't give him an Eitzah to do a mitzvah and still be a Russia. I mean, if you can get him to change his ways, b'chlal, then of course you should try to improve everyone in the world. But I know this, like, against, like, you know, like Lubavitch on the streets. I mean, they're doing the Jews, et cetera. But, like, yeah, do one bit, et cetera. Okay, maybe by Jew would be different because I was called Shalari and Zella death. But the Rambam says, by a Jew, call Shalari and Zella one thing. But says the Rambam, to get a Russian to do like one mitzvah, but stay in Russia, that's worthless. Not only worthless, it's negative. If you get someone to prove, that's one thing. But to like be a Russia, just stop as chus, that's a negative thing. And this, I think, a philosophical position of the Rambam, that, again, it's interesting. He doesn't say this for Jews, maybe because for Jews, you know, we have more Akdos, and in any case, we have culture, but certainly for an Eved Russia, not so possible. Rabbi Chanan suggests it would be true for Jews also. It's not so common that you have a situation among Jews. But what the Rambam is saying is that an Eved, a Russia who does one mitzvah, that's not really worth very much. That's basically what he's saying here. He's only a Russia. It's not really worth it. If someone's a Russia does one mitzvah, it's not really worth it. You can add that the Maharal here adds, because we're talking about Hashem Shemayim. We're not talking about you get into a spark of good feeling and to try and find something good and develop a good side of himself, right? It's not like you're saying, well, I know you did this up here, but maybe you can really work on your position, et cetera. No, I mean, look at this case. You know, they want to have some zechuyos because they have a scary dream, right? Or because they feel bad for killing the Chacham. They don't really want to change their ways. Says the Rambam, big fish. If they're not really willing to change their ways, just is not a good thing. As a matter of fact, it's a bad thing. Why? Because you're just being mechazik to Russia, just like giving him good financial advice. Why can't you give a good financial advice, where he says, even a mitzvah, to a Russia? Because why do you want to be mechazik to Russia? If he wants to be a tzaddik, fine. If he wants to be vegan, fine. But why make the Russia have more resources than life? Likewise, why give the Russia more resources? It's no point because he's still a Russia. Again, I think that the neo-Hasidim would, you know, perhaps I'll be taken aback by this. But it seems to be that's how the Rambam felt. The Rambam felt that if someone's going to be a Russia and just do one mitzvah to get some extra tzar or to get some kapara, that's worthless because you know what? You're just being mechazik him that he could be a Russia and, you know, pay God, bribe God here and there and get away with it. And we'd be better off to not be mechazik him.
But you see that he built a base of Mikdash and that then justified and gave him Kapara.
Who said he gave him Kapara? The Gemara says it was worth it because we wanted a base of Mikdash. I guess it did give him Kapara, but it wasn't worth it. It's bad that it gave him Kapara. I mean, Herod was a Russia his whole life. he was a very problematic fellow. You didn't want to have anything to do with him. You especially didn't want to be related to him. The insurance agents already knew not to sell life insurance policies to anyone related to head to Hortus. Anyway, kids are okay. There's a lot more we can discuss. We're going to stop now. So basically, everyone was bothered by this. Like, how can it be you shouldn't tell a goy to give tzedakah? It can't be. It can't be that we shouldn't try to bring goodness into the world. And everyone agrees that we saw agree it can't be. They just made three okimtas. The Meiri made an okimta, very rare case, that where you know enough about Hashem, the ways that Hashem doesn't want this guy to do tshuva, rare historical cases. The Avramah says, only if he's an enemy who kills the Jews. Okay, you know what? An enemy who kills the Jews, we don't want to have any zokoyos. It's okay to hate your enemy. I know it's not woke nowadays, but it's good to hate your enemy. And not even wanting to have zokoyos. And the Rambam, I think he's like, because he's broadening this the most. He says, no, anyone who's a Russian who's just going to do a mitzvah, and the Maral adds, shalom l'shma, just going to do a mitzvah, shalom l'shma, to get a kapara or to get a zechus, but he's just going to do a tzaddik his rishos, then it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's actually a negative to let a Russia think that he can top zechuyos, and it's better just leave him as a Russia who doesn't do mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't, I mean, the Maral goes further, said Hashem doesn't want, Hashem's upset when the Russian does mitzvot. He doesn't want to have to get started in Russia. He wants, if the guy wants to do tshuva, that's one thing. The guy wants to be a Russia, he'd rather have nothing to do with it. Okay, that's a real philosophical finish. Okay, Vizel. Let's go back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hakol Kamenig Amdina, Hakol Lo Suyemai, right? Why don't you call Kamenig Amdina? We already know the Livni and the Arfi and the Gvil and the Gazis. No. To include, even if there's a town where the minig is chutzah v'dafna, which is the chutzah is these lula branches, and the dafna is this kind of armonim, but we mean some sort of chestnut branches or something. Anyway, it means these little, all you make is these little branches and leaves. You weave it out of branches and leaves. Then they can follow that in their town. Interestingly, the Yonah is Medayik in this that we pass the halacha, that the Mishnah says there are four options, right? Gvil, Gazus, Archi, and Livni. And a Kokan in this Asuye place where they have a lower Midhav. So why does the Mishnah give four options? If it's going to be whatever your Midhav is a bit lower than that option. There are many answers to that at the moment. But Rabbi Yonah suggests we can at least learn from the Mishnah. What if there's no Midhav whatsoever? There's no money whatsoever, then you can't do chutz v'dafna. That's the whole thing with Medina. If there's no money whatsoever, you have to go with the Mishnah. And since you can't motzvei harol v'raya, you have to go with the cheapest thing in the Mishnah, which is levenin. That's the smallest, the cheapest of all things in the Mishnah. So if there's no minhag, you have to do the smallest of the four options in the Mishnah. Only if there's a minhag, you can do less than that. Okay, here, Tosos asks, makes a diok here. Tosos al-Beitam and makes a diok. Why do you say akol kiminag medina lasuye hutsa v'dafna? Why not just lasuye anything in minhag medina? So here it's a machlokas, Rishonim, Tosos and the Rush say, no, it's Davka. The Gemara is being Chadish, the whole thing would be not from Hutzah V'Dafna up, but less than Hutzah V'Dafna, no. While the Ramban, and who did I put here, the Haggot Sashri, say, no, Lam Davka. Hutzah V'Dafna is just an example. It's just me about saying anything. They're just using an example. But basically, we have three machlokos here about whether Hakol Kimidina is Davka, or whether it means Hakol Kimidina with rabbinic approval, right? Tosos already points out that he viewed this as a, in the line, the other line of the mission, he viewed this as a general ara, many times Shas says Kimidina Medina. You wonder, manush Hakol Kimidina, whatever they say goes, or Hakol Kimidina within the bounds of rabbinic approval, within the bounds of what makes sense? So he says, here we have the Yukin, that show that Hakol Kimidina is Lavdapi, you always need rabbinic approval of Benhagi. So we see one question, how about less? How about if Nahagu less than Hutzah V'Dafna? Tosa said, the Ramban and the Hagos are three, they follow the Minhag. Tosos and the Rush say you still need Hutzah V'Dafna. Okay, you also have this Machlokis
back in the Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah said four things. And it said, okay, four things. We're going to go to Mina. And the Lord said only those four things. It's even Hutzah V'Dafta and probably lots of things in between Hutzah V'Dafta and the four things of the Mishnah. The Mishnah also says the width of the four things in the Mishnah, right? Three, four, five, six, between Sachakol, total. Is that width Dafta? What if the minig is have a different width? What if the minig is to have Gozis four instead of five, or Gozis six instead of five? Which brings up the question, why did the Mishnah have to tell you how wide it is? Just say Hakol Kaminig Medina, right? I mean, why do we have to say the four things to tell you how wide they are? Well, why do we have to say the four things to tell you how wide they are? Why not say Hakol Kaminig Medina? The post makes the deal. If it tells you how wide they are, it must be that a kol is not Kaminig Medina. And that's a what if Nahaku wider than the Mishnah? Oh, you go with the Mishnah. That's what Tosafot says. That's what the Rosh says. Because oh, that's a waste of money to do more than the Mishnah. It's not necessary. Right? The Ramban agrees with them. That was also on the in the brackets here. Right? They say, no. That's why the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah says it because you need rabbinic approval for Minhagim. Minhagim is only with rabbinic approbation. And the Rav Gadol did not approve the minhag to build walls that are too wide because that's a waste of money. It's totally unnecessary. How about if the minhag is to do thinner than the Mishnah, right? It says Tosfos here. Tosfos says, why does the Mishnah have to say anything? The answer is because if the minhag is too wide, that's not true. However, in Nagalasos Pachos Yaseh, what if Nahagu narrower, I guess, right? Narrow, thin, narrow. That's a better word. Thin, okay. Yeah, narrow sounds like that's great. Thinner than the Mishnah. Here, also says you follow the minhag. Okay, because you're allowed to have less up to Hutzah V'Dafna. So the image is telling you, don't waste your money building more. If you want to build less, that's fine. Anything more than the Hutzah V'Dafna is okay. However, not everyone agrees, and the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, nope, you follow the Mishnah across the board. Can't be narrower than the Mishnah, can't be wider than the Mishnah. Oh, you can be Hutzah V'Dafna. Yeah, you can be Hutzah V'Dafna, but you can have two talking of bricks. Because Hutzah V'Dafna is a logical thing. Tooth pocket of bricks also leaves the money. It's worth it. Tooth pocket will pull right away and you'll waste the money tooth pocket of bricks. Tooth of Adapta will last 3 months and you'll get your money's worth. But tooth pocket of bricks will last a year and you won't get your money's worth. Waste the money on bricks. The Gra has an interesting but controversial deal here. Someone already came over me and said why it's controversial. Says the Gra. Says the Rambam says, interestingly, the Rambam says, what the width of the wall? Hakol Kaminig HaMedina. Right? The Rambam says, what's the width of the wall? Hakol Kaminig HaMedina. Okay. What about the Mishnah? So the Gra is Medayit in the Rambam. He says, Lashon Rambam, etc. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is the Lashon of the Rambam. And then he quotes Tosfos, and he quotes the Rosh, and later he quotes the Ramban. He says, Lashon Rambam, Shehichvin didn't fill the Rosh. He left this all out. Shema mina, this village down the rope on Pelyum and Haga. Everything depends on Minhag. And then he didn't think the Rosh shot was right. But the Gra says everything depends on the Minhag, meaning everything depends on the Minhag. You can always follow the Minhag. Because after all, the Rambam leaves out the Mishnah, Le Gamri. Okay, here, it's not exactly clear what the Gra meant. The Rambam in Hilchos Shteinim, Perek, Beis Halacha Tesvav, did leave out the Mishnah, Le Gamri. He says, Barocha Makam HaKotel, Kamiya Rachma Kol Kimin HaMedina. Okay, but then in Halacha Yuches, there's only three halachas later, the Rambam brings down the Mishnah. Makam Shinagu Lasos, etc. by Gazis, is three and three, and
and sorry, Kvil is 3 and 3, and Gaz is 2.5, 2.5, and 10. So it's a bit of a mystery with the Gram. And I saw one footnote said maybe he didn't mean the Rambam, he meant the Mechaber. So the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch actually built the Gaz Mishnah. How do I know? Look in Beis Amin Aleph, name Mishpat. First name Mishpat says Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Second name Mishpat says Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. The third name Mishpat, which is going on the Gvil, the Gazis, and the Archi and the Livni, has only Rambam and no Shulchan Aruch. So maybe he meant. Maybe he meant the Mechaber, not the Rambam, and just was a tall sofer here somehow, he wasn't a Rambam. Okay. I don't know exactly what the Gra meant by this. Because if you meant by Lashon the Rambam, that's true in one Rambam, but not true 3 levels later. And if you meant the Mechaber, then it's a bit of the other. But you wrote Rambam. So it's a bit of a tzar what the Gra meant. But the Gra clearly thought there was such a shita, says everything is minhag, and there's no need for a rabbinic approval of minhag whatsoever, unlike Tosfos, who says, Mikan, Mochiach, Rabbeinu Tam, or something. Don't follow every minhag, even though it says Benin Medina. It's always that rabbinic approval. Maybe the Rambam, Machaber, whoever the Gra was making this deal, disagrees. That still can be a very radical thing if the Gra himself says that I don't like the Shita, because then why did the Mishnah say it? Why did the Gemara analyze it? It's a radical Shita to say it only depends on minhag. But I guess the Dochak, maybe you could say the Mishnah was telling you the common minhag. This is the most common minhag. But in the Chanami, it really depends all community of Dina. Anyway, Lamaisa, okay, this is a big machlokes. We see just three hints of machlokes. It's a kol kamin gedina, literally a kol kamin gedina, or the kol kamin gedina within bounds of rabbinic approval. One machlokes is to be less than tzedakta. One machlokes is, can you make someone build a wider wall than necessary? One machlokes is, can the minhag be to build a thinner wall than necessary? Each of these is obviously its own question, and you could say, no, everyone's agreeing that you need rabbinic approval for a minhag. They're just arguing about, how much latitude the rabbi's giving you, how much flexibility they gave you. After all, maybe it's not so bad to build a wall that's too thin. What lasts as long, but it's all reasonable. Maybe it's not so bad to build a wall that's too thick. It's not necessary, but it's still a nice extra touch. Maybe it is, or it's not so bad that it wasn't used to the Dachna. Maybe it's a waste of your time, maybe it's not. So it could be, or it could be that maybe they're arguing about some principle here. Clearly Tosos says, you can't follow every minhag, it needs rabbinic approval. And the grub, that's a Rama Machara, I admit it's a funny sheet that's been even though exactly. Yeah. It's the grub, not in someone, we don't know who it is. But it's a good deed for the Machaber. The Machaber leaves out the building gusses.
This means that's how the Machaber learned the Ramba.
And may, although it's funny, it's going to be funny to defend this grub, but nonetheless, if there is such sheet out there, maybe there's some fundamental focus to the Hug and the Urban approval or not.
Perhaps
this might depend on the Hakira, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has a Hakira as to why we care about Minhag Din at all. Not why, I know we discussed the first time, why is the Minhag Din important to build this kind and not the other kind? No. Why is the Minhag Din have any power whatsoever? And the Chazon Ish has a Hakira about it. He has a long discussion. First, he talks about in the beginning about what if the Imamish made a Takana? That's more than Minhag Din, that's a Takana. Like the Imamish got down and the giant tube of urine, everyone said, everyone must build this kind of wall. Okay. But then he says, what about Stam Minhag? And he has two deos. Well, he seems to prefer one of them. His first deya is, right, his first question is, why does everyone have to follow the Minhag? After all, if you built a brick wall, there would be no Hezbriya. So why do you have to follow the Minhag? So his first answer is, after Kinishtaku and Shchoko, Yorsham, and Askin Choko, Shishtav, Shizel, Zebin, Yakot, and Fiam Minhag, with the Choshashim, with the Chalukanam, Shinestrat, Salah, Lokam, Nas, Lidnos, Kinhag, and Shratu. It's an Omdina of Ischayo Sidas. Meaning, when I make shutfus with you, I am implicitly machayev myself to follow the minhag. When brothers split the Yerusha, they implicitly machayev themselves to follow the minhag. When you agree to split a chaser, that you didn't have to say that, you implicitly agree to follow minhag. So it's an implicit assumed obligation. That's the cognition's first day. An implicit assumed obligation. And then his second day off. Then he has a kasha. We'll come back to it in a moment. Then he has a second day off. He says no. The ikra din. He thinks that no. It's part of the din. It's part of the pi of the rabbanan of hezekriya. Part of the pi of hezekriya. Why? The pi of hezekriya is to build the of kriya nachmi oser. When they're retaken, the pi of hezekriya, the din, they're retaken. You have to build the proper fence. And they decided, what's the fence? The proper fence. There's no minhag bricks. And then they said, in yesh minhag ba'ir, matzu chacham lekibboa ha'alacha, live no slopia minhag. If there's a minhag in the city, then first of all, make people happier to do that. They're comfortable. They know how to build those things well. Chazal decided you have to do the best you can to get rid of hezbriya. The best you can be to follow the minhag. That's a hakir, the chazan ish. Why is hakol kim minhag? Hamedina, the Chazan says of Akira, is it because it's an implicit implicit schaibos midas, let's call it, right? You agree to this. But Kabbalah, okay, whatever. Implicit schaibos. You agree to do this by entering into transactions, by doing transactions, you're implicitly agreeing to hide yourself to follow the minhag. Or is it it is part of the Makana Durabanan of Hezekriya? Okay. Without getting into exactly Hezekriya-ness, right? After all, maybe it's learned from Parshas Balak or not, but clearly the detail of Hezekriya or Makana is common. And therefore, when the Chachamim made a Takana to build a wall, they also made a Takana as to what wall you have to build, and they said to follow the minhag hamlako. He suggests he didn't say it's not being, he doesn't like the first one. He likes the second one, but you can imagine there might be some interesting nafkaminas, perhaps. Like, for example, what if, he doesn't think this is a nafkamina, but he says, for example, what if when you originally entered into your partnership, there was one minhag in town, and then it changed. Are you bound by the minhag when you entered into the transaction, or the minhag as of now? If it's a kasha common, whatever's as of now, it's a kasha common. If it's a implicit acceptance, implicit kabbalah, then it should depend on the moment when you were in shatzi. That's when you implicitly accepted it. Although he says, no, but that not for me. I say, no, anyone who makes a shutvah is implicitly accepting the follow the minhag as it involves. Doesn't like this time. Meaning, I'm not here quoting the Hadanish. But maybe you could say some nafkaminas are, what if the minhag changed between the hishtapos and the Binyan HaKotel, right? We hishtapit 5 years ago. And now we split it up into so they follow the old minhag or the new. Now, if it's implicit, then maybe you should follow the old minhag. Although the Chazan Ish said the new minhag, because he thinks we had a very complex status, where we tie ourselves to keep the minhag as it's being updated, as it evolves. Well, clearly, the comments are common. Now it's common to now, and yet to keep the new minhag. Another nafkamina he quoted, which he viewed as a pircha, is what if you never entered into any transaction? What if, for example, two guys were like zocha from Esther, two pieces of land next to each other, and they never had any business dealings, they never engaged in any transaction with each other, right? That's what he also suggests here. He says, what if, what's his example? Zocha kalecha chelkman a hefker. Right, they never had any transactions with each other. I was over this field from Hefker, you were over this field from Hefker, now we have to build a wall. We never did any business dealings, which would obligate us, right? So that's the other, he uses the pircha. What another nafkamina could be, what if shneihem zochu min ha-Hefker, meaning it's just a funny case of him. So the point is, they never had any transaction, right? they never transacted with each other. They never had any transaction. You can't say they implicitly accepted a signpost by transacting with each other. They never did a transaction. It just worked out this way. Meaning, even if one guy inherited from his grandpa, the other guy from his grandpa, they say the grandfather's transacted and passed on it. But they're zokim in a heifer, right? So then they should have to keep the minhag. If it's a chatan rabbanan, they should have to keep the minhag. But if it's implicit signpost, then they don't have to keep the minhag, which Avinish saw as a kirchal. He said, well, then that's the wrong shot, because obviously they would have to keep the minhag. I know you could have said that in case, maybe they don't keep the minhag, it's possible. Anyway, that's what the Kazanish likes the last one, because he doesn't want to say there's anyone who doesn't have to keep the minhag. He gets into a little trouble. He says, well, if it's part of Hezekriya, then half in a bika, you have to keep the minhag. Meaning, it doesn't say anything about the types of walls. Why can you minhag keep over in a bika, right? Why didn't you even hug in the bika? There's no Hezekriya in a bika. Okay. And he has to say, maybe there's a kind of woman nonetheless. Okay, there he gets into a little document, which won't say that. Anyway, that's kind of the shakir. Is it takana or the tigers we
ask? So within the Tabbat, all of these machlokes are in a different degree, meaning is the kind of rabbana be given away with them, you know, or throw up?
Yeah, the kind of rabbana, the big judgment calls to the details, and everyone argues about the judgment calls to the details. Okay, now, it's not lochmer, but you could say that maybe our sugya, not the details, but the generalities of our sugya might depend on the spectra. If you view the whole thing of minig medina as takana rabbanan, the whole minig medina only comes at takana sachanan, then of course it should only be with rabbinic approval. The minig has no power in and of itself. It's only had power because the rabbanan made it takana to follow the minhag. And why they make it takana to follow minhag? If they don't think it's a good minhag, they only make the kind of follow good minhag. So then, how about the fundamental in our sugya? Again, I'm not saying the detail. So about the details, always judgment calls. Is it stupid or smart to build 4 tefachim of whole bricks? Is it stupid or smart to build 5 tefachim of uncut stones? Okay, at a certain point, you just have to use your judgment. And I can't second guess anyone's judgment. Everyone should have to hold that value to their judgment. But then the fundamental question, if it all comes to its kandra bana, then it's parsha life or being of time. We only follow the minhag hamakom if Chazal endorse it. Only a minute that Chazal endorsed, because it's only Chazal who told us to follow Minhag Makom. Why would they tell us to follow Minhag Makom that they didn't think made sense? Again, what are the details? What sheep do you want? Rabbi is supposed to say, you follow Minhag of a thinner wall in the Mishnah, but not a thicker wall. That's because we only follow the rabbinic endorsement, but the rabbis were willing to be flexible for a thinner wall, not for a thicker wall, based on their judgment of engineering and finances. But if you say it comes to an implicit signpost,
maybe got a life of its own, though. Maybe once they're attempting to follow the minhag, you just follow the minhag without going into
possible, but I think it's possible, but it's dumb. I would say it's possible, but it's dumb. However, if you say it comes from just the two of us, when the two of us transact, we implicitly agree to follow minhag alone. But that has nothing to do with it. It's our own personal transaction. Then maybe you lean towards saying that who cares if it matches the mission that Chazal thought it was a good idea or not? We have in mind to the minhag hamakom, right? Obviously, everyone in the hamakom thinks it's a good idea. Everyone in the hamakom has different shitas in engineering than Chazal. So they're very, very prone. But the other thing is, we have in mind to follow the engineering shitas of our hamakom and not the engineering shitas of Chazal. Right? Look over, you might say, like the Gra. Like the Gra, the Das HaRambam, again, with a big asterisk, because I admit that that's a pasha. I mean, it really doesn't seem like Das HaRambam. But now, taking that shita, that you would say, no, that is just a minag hamedina legamri. That maybe you go legamri committing a medina. unless you want to say, which the Tosu Shama does seem to bring up, no, maybe either it's not a matter of what we think, but Lebaiko is one of them if we think something stupid. But the simple shot would be that this fundamental question might be enough for me, no, because it's just like Europe.
Would it matter why you think it has a greatest problem? Because it's a sound choice versus your delay, you need like a portion. Like, Minna Gwangina might work for when you say sound choice problem, kind of agrees with how we, you know, act in relation to each other.
It's possible, but I don't know that I'm this sort of thing.
If Minhag Medina only has to do with the materials, then obviously Chazal will always be happy to follow the Minhag Medina because you could just make it.
I think what you're just saying, what I've been saying, meaning that's the shita of the Rush, et cetera, that Minhag Medina is only materials, but Chazal will tell you what to do with materials.
Yeah, I was kind of asking if we can touch on
make it a big deal.
I'm not trying to do that.
You're saying the same thing I said here. You're saying if the Kadosh Rabbanan of has a greater than the meaning of Venus for the material, maybe I'm not appreciating what you're saying.
I was asking you a question.
What's your question?
My question is whether Rebbe can help me, whether doubt make a difference here. When I buy this land that's right next to African country, you're going to be how much to do that. Then I'm implicitly accepting upon myself to build a wall with certain materials, but that doesn't have anything to do with how
people could accept myself how thick it is also.
And therefore, that wouldn't make sense if you hold that. Then it, you know, only has to do with materials.
Exactly, which is why I said you follow me in the Lagara. Even for the width. Lagara means even for the width.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you just look at the Rama in the Gross quoting, he said that we follow the name Medina, and he said because it's about avoiding the Dupia. Even wrong with the other Rama, I was in the Gross, right?
You mean because it sells me not see? No, because everyone agrees that there's an Itzer of Hezek Re'iyah regardless. So what he's saying is that regardless of meaning of Medina, you still have to worry about Hezek Re'iyah. But it could be that in terms of the wall, it's pure meaning of Medina. He's just saying, even besides the tightness of the wall of meaning of Medina, you should know, you still can't have Hezek Re'iyah under any circumstances. So that doesn't bother.
Yeah, I thought he's saying that.
I mean, do whatever minute you want, but don't eat treif. No, that doesn't mean the meaning's about eating treif. It's just telling you. Keep in mind.
As long as you get rid of the Hezek Re'iyah, so then you go after Minhag Medina, as long as you get rid of Hezek Re'iyah.
But that doesn't prove that Minhag Medina is part of the cut of Hezek Re'iyah.
Sounds like that's what's justifying Hezek
Re'iyah. I'm not hearing that deal. No, what justifies the meaning of Medina is that you accepted it on yourself. He's just saying whatever you accept on yourself, you still have to keep the baseline halacha. Like, don't think you can accept on yourself your mikel than the halacha.
What's the halacha with that?
I'm not sure in life if I have to explain the Havmina of every line in the Rambam. It's the Havmina of the Sefer Menachita, obviously not. Okay, that's the question. Every line in the Rambam really needs a strong Havmina, or to the Rambam, some lines just be explaining things. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a great answer. You and I can make up a Havmina. You know, based on our discussion that we had earlier, the difference between... It's actually interesting. If you want, you could say we had a discussion earlier. What is remember we had a machlokes that tied into the chalom with the stool and the ksos and the ramban, and it tied into the above on the base with Rashi and the Rav and the Rav Bed did of the two guys on two sides of the street. Is has to be the only type. You can't automatically see someone. But if you say, well, that guy's going to spy on me, then you just say we trust him not to spy on you. I mean, you only have to build a wall to prevent Re'iyah Be'Neila. But to prevent spying, we trust the guy not to spy. Or do you even have to build a wall to prevent spying? Maybe I would say, you might have had to have, you only have to build a wall that prevents automatic seeing. But if there's holes in the wall, the guy can put his eye on, then it's okay. And last one, you even have to prevent spying, and he can't even have holes that he can put his eye on and look through. Okay. It's reading something from Rambam, but it could be.
Okay. In any case, speaking, then I want to move on.
Yeah, just
jumping. You don't want to start to be sure.
Just jumping off Moshe's point. If the whole, if the whole point is, if it's clear from the Rishonim that if it doesn't prevent a Zikriya, then the whole thing fucks anyway. And it shows that there's no, I guess, singular implicit Ischaivos by itself, because if that implicit Ischaivos wouldn't fix the Zikriya problem, then it would be Bakhtel Yam.
No, I don't think it shows that. It just shows that here's an Ischaivos and also an Isser of Hezekriya. So you have to make sure it yields an Isser of Hezekriya regardless, and you have to make sure to keep the Ischaivos regardless. Even if Dol is Chayvus, there's also an Isser of Hezekriya.
But it says that's Bato. I mean, they use the word of Bato. I mean, that is Chayvus. It's only subsumed under the concept of Hezekriya, and then do whatever you want.
Well, I'm not sure I saw that being said.
So you shouldn't have it be true. Just because it's okay, it's going to fall down in 3 days. That's only going to be okay if the Minna and Medina is that it's okay for it to fall down in 3 days.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we can talk about it later. Let's move on to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lafika. What's lafika? Because they're both hired to build the wall, therefore we assume they both did build the wall. What's lafika? Lafika says they're both hired to pay half and half for the wall. And lafika tells us since they're hired to pay for all half and half, we assume they paid half and half. Meaning it could be we're hired to pay half and half. Why don't you sweet talk me into paying for all of it or something, right? Anything's possible. You know, we're hired to pay half and half. But you were being obstinate and you weren't forking up the money. And finally, I just said, forget it. I'll pay for it all. It's not worth fighting with you. You know, or you asked me very nicely. You said, you know, you're very poor. I'm very rich. You know, can't I just do your favor and pay for anything's possible? And the Lafika says, in Dinei Mamonos, we have a chazaka that didn't happen. Anything's possible. The chazaka is that if I have to pay half and you have to pay half, right? I don't know. The longer you've lived in Israel, the more you fully understand this chazaka. Right? Everyone knows what's the biggest issue for an Israeli? It'll be a prior. So if I pay half and you pay half, there's no way I'm paying for all of it. Right? You're paying your half. Therefore, it falls down 100 years later or 20 years later or whatever. One guy's not nehmah to say he paid for all of it. Rather, they split the makom and they split the avakom. Fine. Says the Gemara, Lafika chenafal avanim shita. Okay? We're not sure what shita means. We're sure she's being this time. Well, what's obvious? She's to be obvious. We're not sure what's obvious. Okay. Well, what are the two shitas? What's obvious? First reading the Gemara, right?
It's obvious that you split the land.
It's obvious that, or it meaning it's obvious that hold on. It's obvious you should split it. Clearly, sheet means obvious you should split it. Why is it obvious that you should split it? Why is it obvious you should split it?
People contributed.
It's obvious you should split it because what's not close to shown here as the sheet. There is not close to shown in the sheet.
But from the side, it's...
I know there's a little hutton on the sheet, but you also have to know what the Gemara means. So one way of saying is, one way of reading it is, what are the two ways of reading Pshita? Look at Rashi. Pshita davarav shel shneim. Da'afilu lo pasak landina demasnis and hamlandeinu shemipkilav in shneim asa'u al karcham ha'yukholkim eshav ha'avonim. Charges shel shneim unachim yadim da'ar. Says Rashi, the Pshita is you don't need the Lafika. Pshita without the Lafika. That's Rashi's Pshita. It's plush they split it. What else would they do? It's half mine, it's half on my yard, half on your yard. So it's obvious to me to split it. It's obvious without the Lafika. Who else holds that it's obvious even without the Lafika? That Shita means obvious without the Lafika?
Oh, what's the other option?
Are we assuming their respective...
You got the word right.
Rabbi's question is accepting their respective...
Okay, let's go.
Because Rashi might not agree with
Shita. What are the two ways of reading Shita in our Gemara? There are basically two ways of reading our Gemara. There are lots of in-between ways. There are two basic ways of reading our Gemara. We can call them Rashi and Tosos, which I know have a difference between them. Call them Rashi and Tosos versus, let's say, the Rambam, Rimigash, Rif, and Rach. You know, we have a clear Ashkenazi-Sephardi split here. With the later Ashkenazic Rishon, like the later Sephardic Rishon, like the Yonah and the Rashba, go with Rashi and Tosfos.
Okay, this is just chat. What is Shita? Sorry, Shita. The Gemara Shita. Shita is Shita, right? What is the question of Shita? Says Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbi Yonah and the Rashba, which I think are, and there's other Rishonim. The Ran says the same thing, but they're not on the sheet. So here we have Rashi, Tosfos, Rabbi Yonah, and the Rashba say, what's Shita? Shita that even without Lefika, even without the Mishnah, they would split it. Pashut, Shefolkin, Afilu, and Loha Yahadin, Sheshnehem. Meaning without the Lefika. If Pashut without the Lefika, of course they split it. Why wouldn't they split it? Of course they split it. Why wouldn't they split it? Mm-hmm. After all, Rashi says, it's half in my land, half in your land. Why wouldn't we split it? Of course. Okay, what's the other way of reading Pshita? How does the Rimi Gash read the Pshita? And I'm pretty sure the Rambam also, but obviously the Rambam doesn't say, here's my Pshat in Pshita. How does the Rimi Gash read the Pshita? He says, I'm pretty sure Ben Chanan also, but okay, I can't prove it, but I can prove the Rimi Gash. How does Rimi Gash read Pshita?
We have another halacha elsewhere that teaches us to split it, and we don't need to understand it.
What other halacha?
Not because it's in both of our lands.
What other halacha? Shai Ofen tells them in both their hands. Says the Rimi Gash, Pshita Kolomer came at Shemin Adin who she yivna kol be'em tzotzos me'o seim. Once we know that they both have to go pay for building the wall, then obviously both theirs, meaning the Lefika is Shita, not Shita without the Lefika. The Lefika is Shita, says the Rimi Gash.
Okay.
And the Rama also sounds that way. The Rama, okay, can't prove anything, but certainly says the Rimi Gash says, no, the Lefika is Shita. What he's saying is that Lefika is Shita. What he's saying is that Pashut, the Kavan, the Shnehem, Ayavin, Livnos, and Nafal, Cholkin. Not that it's Shita even after Lefika. Lefika is Shita. Obviously, they both have to pay, then both they split it. Like, why does Mishnah have to tell us that? Obviously, they both have to pay. So as long as they both pay, then they split it. So two different ways of reading being Pshita. That is going to affect, perhaps, right, two different ways of reading the Hemshech of the Gemara. Right? Now let's read on in the Gemara. Lo tricha de nafra l'rshusa dechad minayu. Now the tenuchad l'rshusa d'itay. No, it's necessary if all the stones fell into one guy's rishus, or the stones fell where they were, but one guy struck them into his rishus. If it's necessary if they're all in one guy's rishus. If they're all in one guy's rishus, then it's necessary because mao the tamei they have either chamos v'gal v'raya hamash blood. You might have thought. So now, what's the tricha? Tricha the nafslu letoch rishus echad mehem. That's not the loss of the gemara. That's the loss of the gemara. The nafal rishus at the chad minayim. Nafal Rishuta Dechad Minayu. Okay. Nafal Rishuta Dechad Minayu. And what does the guy find out? Nafal Rishuta Dechad Minayu. You might have thought the most regal of Haraya, right? They have a Mina is a most regal of Haraya Bichita. What is he find out? What's the Pshita? What is he tainting? Okay, according to Rashi, Lechor, what's he tainting? Rashi doesn't continue, but it sounds like tainting. Okay, what's he
What's he timing at this point? For Tilt, what's he timing? If Tilt is for Shosa, what's his timing?
He says, I bought it.
Look, that's what Tosa said, that he timed it, that he bought it?
He timed it as he built it.
Tosa said, he timed as he built it. Don't come with a ego up. He timed as he built it. Right? Look at Rashi, also Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba, right? Says Tosos, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rashba, Kulein, Shabana, right? He timed as he built the whole hotel. Okay. What is the Kamashvalan?
Now
we
get it. Tell us this is going to complicate this a little, right? We're just having first the basic ways we can go. Well, yeah. Tell us this now is going to complicate it, right? Because Tulsa goes in. Nonetheless, what we're dreaming more is Shita even out the Lafika. Why does the Mishnah tell us Lafika? Everything you split until proven otherwise. Why do you not split it? The answer is no, everything you split if it's not in solid for shots. But if one guy's for shots, you'd pay a multitude of variety things that built the wall. Kamash Falan, that, and this is clearly how the Yonah and the Rashba. And even Tosfos say, although Tosfos is going to have to add something. And I think Rashi also. I just like Rashi doesn't continue. Then there's a Haggah that brings a Rav Hanano, and then he moves on to the entirely next sugya. So I'm assuming Rashi's going the same way. I just can't absolutely prove it, right? But definitely you see, these are the Ashkenaz Rishonim and the later Sephardi Rishonim, you know, calling Krishna the same, if you wish. They say, what's the Kamash one? Kamash one, no. That there is a Hanzaka or an Amen Sunday that they both built it. And even though most of them have all of a Raya, there is a Raya. The Raya is a Hanzaka or an Amen Sadi, right? The big Machlosh is showing whether they call it Hanzaka or an Amen Sadi. But the big Machlosh could be the you have a Raya that you built it, which is mostly a Hamero. That's all one way of reading our Gemara. Right? Which is basically the Rashi way of reading the Gemara. Rashi just doesn't carry through because then someone's stuck in a Haggah. But here, I'm not sure. Rashi in, as you might have noticed, Rashi's peculiar. In Bava Basra, not only does he end in the third parak, the beginning of third parak, and Rashbam takes over, but even in the beginning, you have all these, there's Tosefeses in Rashi, there's Haggahs in Rashi. Okay, something funny was going on here. Anyway, so there's the Haggah that brings up here Rabbeinu Hanano. I actually have it. I have Rabbeinu Hanano. I didn't find this there in quite so many words. I think it definitely fits the general Masoret view of Rabbeinu Hanano. What's the difference in this? Here's Rabbeinu Hanano. He only brings the end. But you understand Rabbeinu Hanano much better if you start with the Rimigash. Says the Rimigash. No, that wasn't the worst question at all. The Gemara's question right here was not. Obviously, they should split even without knowing who has to build the hotel. Because why are they not split? And the answer is, well, if one guy is holding it, then he should be able to clean and build the hotel. No, there's a chazak going on inside of me that they both built the hotel. No. The question was, it's obvious that if they both built the hotel, then they both have to split it. So, therefore, this line of the mission is an extra line. It must be teaching us something extra. What's the extra thing it's teaching? The extra thing it's teaching is this. And this is Mefurish in the Rishash, Mefurish in the Rambam. When the Rambam, where's the Rambam in our sugya? Halacha Yurches, what does the Rambam say? He doesn't say anything about the guy tiny who bought it. Paul the Makal Makotel Mishal Shneim. In Nafal Hakotel, I read Makal Makotel Mishal Shneim. Right, that's our Mishnah. Now, here comes our Gemara. But people Nafal Mishal Echameh, Mishapina Echameh, Mishal Abonim Mishuto, right? That's our Gemara. Vitan, not like Tosfos and Lahor Rashi, another Mishonim. Khan then built it. Vitan Shemachal Chavir Chelko Nusul Matana, and he claims, of course you both built it, but then you sold me your half. Nonetheless, Eino Neman, LRB and Bishushal Shnei Hachiyavi Raya. I mean, the Taina is not that I built it originally. Avada we both built it. The Taina is I bought it afterwards. The extra line in the Mishnah teaches you more than it just says. All it says is that since We both are chayiv to build it originally. We assume, we both built it originally at this limit. Well, why did the Mishnah have to tell us this? That's obvious. The answer is to teach you something additional that's only remembered. It's not in the words of the Mishnah. It's not the Lafika. Besides the Lafika, there's another point. Lafika, because we chazaka, we both built it, we both split it. But not only do we both split it, stam. We both split it even if you throw in a different time. What's the other time now? The other time is I bought it. After all, let me give you a classic example. If Tzvi has a pen. You have a pen? No, you have a computer. Oh, you have a pen. Okay. Everyone sees that Tzvi's pen? If tomorrow I walk into the Smedrash with that pen in my pocket, and Tzvi says, give me back my pen, you thief. I say, what do you mean? I bought the pen for you. I traded it. I traded the pen for you. I had a different pen. You wanted the other pen. I wanted that pen. We traded pens. Who wins? Me or Tzvi? Right? Whenever you used to own something and I'm holding it now, I win. Right? So you might, why? Because I can play that from you. Just you own something doesn't get owned forever. Right? People sell things. Okay, so that's classic Chizkas Mamar, Mosvot Ovaraya. So I'm holding it now, I can play an Avad, we both built it. But then I bought it from you. Maybe I can claim after the wall fell. Mela, what do we do? These? It's not such a crazy claim. The wall fell. Right? I can take these exact stones and rebuild them. Yeah, that's not going to scrap. The stone broke, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so there's all these stones. I have to need stones for a project. You have to not need stones for a project. Once the wall fell, I said, yeah, it's going to take us a few weeks to build a new wall. Meanwhile, you know, they're not worth so much. Can I give you $20 for the stones? And you said, fine. Not a crazy time up. And that's what I time them. That's before Shin the Rimi Gash and the Rambam. Right? And, I'm pretty sure in the Rabbeinu Hananel as well. I just can't prove it. You know, I would add, this is the Mashmos of Rashi. This is the Mashmos of Rashi. Also, I think if you just follow Rashi through and that's like, oh, that's what comes out. But the Rambam and the Rimi Gash are, I mean, the Rimi Gash makes it a little more, and the Chor, that's what Rabbeinu Hananel's thing about, right? What does he say? Kamash one should fit on a machazik on each other. And where does... Who takes that from the final? The Riff. The Riff says, come on, someone should bring up a positive on each other's photo. It's saying, here is, I'll add a little story in a second, but the Rimi Gash, the asterisk, the Rambam, and the Matmos of the Riff. And the Rabbeinu Hanano is coming there. Look at the menu. Right? I admit we both built the wall, but, right, Shalak Achmianu, Tainus Lilan, the Kifa, right? Then, but I claim to have bought it. And what's the right that I bought it? It's in my hands. Then what's the Kamash one? The Kamash one is not that it's a Chazaka and an Ansani that both built it. Everyone admits we both built it. That's not up for argument. Everyone knows you both built it. I just claim to have bought the stones from you later. Kobe, after it fell, you told us to build that. I wouldn't need stones from a broken wall. So what's the Kamash one? What does the Rimi Gash say the Kamash one is, and the Rambam, and the Riff, the Rambam says the Kamash one, the Rimi Gash, the Yadrama also says the Kamash one this way. What's the Kamash one? What does the Rav say in Rashi?
That the Shutfin may not mark be done.
Exactly. There's a rule that Shutfin lo mechazki ahadadi. Okay, that's a Mishnah later on. Shutfin can't make a Chetzkas Mamar on each other. What does that mean? There's exceptions. Remember the Tzvi's pen? Allegedly, when he's tried to get his pen back after selling to be fair and square. No good, Nick. There are exceptions. Anyone know exceptions where we know something was Ozzy's and I wasn't face manager the next day and I claim I bought it and he actually wins? I threw it back to him. Dvar Hasun Lahashul Lahaskir, right? Mainstream approach. Things that people normally borrow from their friends. I'm actually not named say I bought it because he probably likes the thing and I have to give it back. Any other examples? Godros, right? Godros, animals that that run wild in the street, run or walk wild in the animals that you let loose in the street, right? If you let your animals loose in the street, let's say, you know, your dog runs around the street. If I'm holding your dog, I have to give it back to you. It doesn't prove I want your dog. It's just in the street. Anyone can grab it if they want. That's why, for example, in
halacha does not recognize this because it didn't relate to this, you know, it's a more modern thing. But in secular law, I'm not a lawyer. But if I understand correctly, if I'm holding onto an object and you claim I stole it from you and I claim I bought it, I win. But if I'm driving your car, right, and I say you sold it to me, then I'm a thief. I get arrested. I'm driving it now. Doesn't it have to be sold to me? No. Not unless you signed over the title. Why? Because you need cars on the street. So anyone can go and take your car. They have to, if they know how to acquire it. Anyway, Kitzer says there's a halacha shutfim lo mechazki adani. Okay, that halacha is both about the Moshan for Karka and about the Tafli. Meaning if we're shutfim and I am holding 100% of the shutfas, that's not a proof that I bought it. Bar Kama, the first owner, right? Because Bar Kama means whoever owns it still owns it. No, if you're shutfin and I'm holding 100% of the shutfas, that's not proof that I bought out the shutfas. Why? Because the derech of shutfin, that each shutfin takes care of all of it at different times, right? That's the normal derech of shutfin, not that each guy only holds it all the time. That's super shutfas. The idea of shutfas is that sometimes you deal with all the property, sometimes I deal with all the property. I do my expertise, with your expertise. So if we're shutfin and I'm holding all the merchandise, that doesn't prove I bought it. No, we assume I stole it and it belongs half and half. Basically, the principle is when there's a known first owner, a markama, and I'm holding it now, but there's a very, very common, normal explanation as to why I would be holding it. That's good thing. Then I don't have a valid chazaka. And that's the kamash one, shutfin lo mechazki adadi. Okay. This is the kamash one because, after all, this is not something very obvious. It's not something that everyone knows. It's a judgment call. And after all, it's not the classic case of shutfin because we only assumed they were shutfin. We don't know for sure they were shutfin and they weren't shutfin to do anything. It was just a law. Kamash one, that's what, if you quote from Rabbi Hananel, that's exactly what the Rambam says, what the Rif says, etc. Kamash one, shutfin lo mechazki. Hadadi. I would just add one point. The Rini Gash does add one thing. In the Rini Gash, he says here, he says, V'tomim v'omer shalvi levadi hoya v'ani pinisiv inami boser denofos avninu michabre. He actually says both times. I kind of was mine all along, or I bought it from you. I'm assuming the Rini Gash doesn't go as far as to say here, but that he means either a tiny, and then he says, but that's not a good tiny shift or a chazik on each other. So I assume what he means is either a tiny that I bought for you, like, you know, the Rambam and the Rift of the Rock and, you know, all the other Shabbat is for you, or I tiny that I built it originally, but I have a meter that I could have said I bought it from you, which is what all the Shabbat here. So the Rini Gash, he actually says, he says, he lists his main focus is the kind of that I bought it from you. Why? Because he says the Kamash was that Shifra and Rechaz get each other can't claim they bought it. Right? And maybe he only listened, I built it originally, like Tosfos, and if he could be Tosfos, you know, like it. Then you might have thought that once I believe they bought it, we also believe they built it originally. Okay. That is two ways of reading the concern of our Gemara. Now, let's just point out the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. This one is a little tricky. Right? This is what bothered all of the Rishonim. Right? Even without our Gemara, that would have bothered the Rishonim. Right? Tosfos brings up the half Rishonim discuss our Gemara, half Rishonim discuss our Mosika. Meaning, there's a half Amina that one guy claimed he built all of it. What's the half-mina? Tell you that the half-mina is it's all in his rishos. There's a half-mina that it falls into one guy's rishos, or he took it into his rishos. He could claim that he owns all of it. Why is that a problematic half-mina? Right? What are you basically claiming here? We're claiming here that it's not just a half-mina, it's a lu-yitzir, right? If not for the din of that Shneim Chayavim Livnos, if not for the din of Shneim Chayavim Livnos, let's say the din was whoever wants to should build it. Right? No one's tied to go to work it out yourselves.
You could have managed such a din.
And then that's the din the landowner has a shame of
right. So what are we saying here? We're saying here, what is the Lufikov saying here? Well, the Lufikov of the Mishnah says, if not for the din of Shnehem Hayobin Livnos, if not for the din of Shnehem Hayobin Livnos, then what would be the din?
The Mufsakit.
Then, if one guy is holding the stones, we say Hamotzim Harel Haraya. But Lefikach, because of the din that Shnei Chayavim Lignos, therefore Hamotzim Harel Haraya. But there's Haraya. The Haraya is the Haraya they both built. Right? According to Rashi, this is exactly what's going on in our Gemara, and Rainio and the Rashba, but Tosas is going to throw a much wrench. According to the Rishonim, the early Rishonim Sfarim, that's not what's going on in Mark, but it's still Chayavim Mishnah. Right, Lefikach. Here's the Pshat of the Mishnah. What's the problem? Tosos and all the Rishonim have two problems with this Havmina. One technical problem and one fundamental problem. What's the fundamental problem that they have with this Mishnah, with this Havmina? Right? A Besha Havmina, let's say Hezek Rishon Lashmi Hezek. Okay, we don't talk about that. And you have no way to know who built the wall. Then if it fell, whoever's entrusted him would keep it, right? So there's no chazaka. Or let's say there's a bika, right? In a bika, I mean, in the end, we have a chazis to solve the problem. Theoretically, there's no such thing as a chazis in a bika when we don't know who built it, and whoever's land it fell into would keep it, right? What's the problem with that, Hamina? There's one steer from our parrot, and there's one just a logical problem. Right? Tosa says, well, what's the problem? Rabotai? What's the problem with this Havmina?
The question is, we're asked to plan because why can't they just not put a...
The technical problem is this, Dalit Amit Beis. The Gemara suggests that, what did it say? If I build the wall in the Becca, I put a chazis. If you build it, you build the chazis. We both build it, we both build the chazis. So the Gemara says, under Dalit Amit Beis, Why don't they just no one build a chazit? Right? Why not just not no one build a chazit? And they answer, yeah, you're right. It's good enough for no one to build a chazit. But the problem is, if no one build a chazit, then one guy can build a chazit, but I'm not looking, and then you get a problem. But what did the Gemara assume there? The Gemara assumed there that if no one built a chazit, you would quit. Right? So one is question one is stira midaf dalet on the base. What did it say there? It says in a bika with no chazis, the din is yakloku. Ah, but we just said, as if there's no proof either way, the din is mukhara varaya. Okay. And what's the conceptual problem they have? They don't really know the quotes anymore. Anyone here ever learned about Metzia?
Question of whether it's no latch. It's not big of who owns the wall.
Exactly. Who remembers Tukfo Cohen? After you forget Tukfo Cohen, it should bring back nice warm feelings. Nice warm feelings for me. Okay. Anyway, you should all learn about Metzia. Some of us learned about Metzia together in this very room. We learned Tukfo Cohen. I don't know who's been around that long. It's been a while since why we learned about Metzia. Maybe no one was here. Were you here for Metzia? Okay. So what's Tukfo Cohen? There's a famous study of Tukfo Cohen, the bug in Metzia. Oh, I see that. Stop. But the Tulsa doesn't quote Tukfo Cohen. He just said there's all logic of moral rishat. Really, you want to quote Tukfo Cohen? If an animal is a suffix bechor, if it's a bechor, I don't know if the mommy had a baby already or not, right? And he has a calf. If it's a bechor, it goes to the kohen. If it's not a bechor, it goes to me. So what's the din? Most of them are right. Since it's born in my farm, it's mine. What if the kohen grabs it? Tukfo Cohen. So there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the rest of the world. right? The Shach says that Shach defends the Ram. Everyone tries to defend the Ram. The Ram's also against the Gemara. But all the Achronim have fun defending the Rambam. That's the Geshmak, how to defend the Rambam. And the Shach, in the very first sermon, he wrote a whole sefer on this, we'll talk for coin. The very first sermon, he gives his defense and how to answer off the Rambam for the Gemara. But he does admit, I'm not reading inside, you can read it here. It's just like a big list, right? He says, but you should know that no one agrees with the Rambam. The Tosos, the Rosh Hashanah, the Mugayos, they go to the another Tosos, and the Rosh Hashanah, and the Tzubas, and Tosos, and the Rosh Hashanah, and the Rosh there, and the Ramban, and the Ra'ah, and the Ran, and the Maharai, and the Maharil, and the Maharik, and the Maharabins, and the et cetera, and then lots of people who are a little less famous, and then the Ramban, and Shulchan Aruch. Only the Machaber Paskin. Around basically every single region of the world against the Rambam. The Rambam Paskin's Tufo coin in Motsino Sabiyato. If you grab something, Motsino Kalavaraya, now you keep it. Meaning, wherever it ends up, that guy keeps it. So for the Rambam, it's Micha. Rishonim don't say that. But no one else agrees with the Rambam. We pass it out like the Rambam. If the coin grabs it, it still goes back. Meaning, when we say Moshe Gadol Varaya, you can't. How Moshe Gadol Varaya means wherever it is now, that's the psak, and you can't keep changing it back and forth, right? Or as Tosa says, and then well, I guess we'll have to continue last time. I apologize. Tosa says. First he quotes from Daf Dalid. And then he says, give me a second, then we will stop. Et cetera. Even if it falls in someone else's rishos, you don't lose your rights, right? If it's in my rishos, here it's in half of his rishos. It's muchzak in half and half. The fact that it falls one way doesn't change anything, right? This is the Ram called their pill. The Ram holds whatever there's a suffix, whoever grabs wins. Basically, every suffix, what phrase we use for the Rambam, becomes a kalavar, right? Where strong wins. Rambam's talking about across the board, any suffix in din, whether you're hiking money or not, you don't have to pay, but if I grab it, I keep it. No one else agrees with the Rambam on that. These are two that the Yachim and the Rishonim, they all say, no, I'm looking at kalavar raya, and even if it moves, it doesn't change the psak, but also kalavar raya. And therefore, question two is a logical question. Once it farts, there's just mayhem before the fila. Certainly it can end, but even before the fila, once it starts for just mayhem, then Hamotze Erchum equals the Cheskach mayhem. And that doesn't change when it falls. It doesn't change when it falls, again, for everyone but the Rambam, right? Something before is mine, not the Kohen's, because I'm the Muchzak. Even if it ends up in the Kohen's yard, it's still mine. Because you can't, basically, for the Rambam, every emotional variety is a called the Lundvar. Every suffix model, you can go grab it back and forth and keep fighting forever. For everyone else, no, that's ridiculous. Whenever we see the situation, we say emotional variety, and then you can't start saying grabbing it. You can't start saying, oh, now it changed. Now it's in minor system. Okay, so that's the other question we are going to have to basically how the folks will be able to show them answer both those questions. And Ms. Pike, with that, we'll have to pick up with Miritz Hashem next time. Okay, so to be continued. That's why Tosos gives an entirely new reading of our Gemara, and everyone else keeps the start reading of our Gemara and just answers the questions.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
The Rif and the Rimigash make it very clear that Shufin Lo Mechaske Adodi is a fundamental aspect of the way they understand the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam doesn't mention that explicitly.
Well, the
so Rambam... You could say maybe it doesn't mention it explicitly because it's not explicit in the Gemara, but still it's sort of...
what's the lashon of the Rambam? You're saying the lashon of the Rambam is Eino Nemet L'Rishrim Shoshneihem. The Rambam just says he's not Nemet to say he bought it. He doesn't explain why, right?
That's right.
My only answer is, well, if I only had the Rambam, I would say, so I don't know why he's not Nemet to say he bought it, you know? But given we have everyone who influenced the Rambam, right? Given we have not just a Rach and a Riff, but a Rimigash as well, then if the Rambam says something that 100% fits well with the Rambam, with the Riff, Rabbi Nochanan or Rimigash, and they say it, then I think that counts as a Vadai. Obviously, the Rambam holds the Maskana is Shutfin L'Machazki Adadi.
Okay, and the other thing that I wanted to ask
you would certainly agree with that, Taina.
I absolutely agree. The other thing that I wanted to ask was if we go back to the first subject, the din that you're not allowed to give an etza to Melech Russia or a Goy Russia or an Eved Russia. So the Achronim point out that basically the Rambam on the one hand and the Rama and the Beis HaBchira on the other hand are cholek as to which answer the Gemara you're posek like. That the two answers that the Gemara gives, one is that the din doesn't apply to an Eved, and the other that because the Beis HaMikdash was involved, they're basically cholek on each other. And some of the Rishonim passing like one of the answers, and the other Rishonim passing like the other answer. So the So the Rambam paskins that the din would apply to an Eved Russia as well.
Correct.
And Rabbi Elchanan extends it, suggests that it could be extended to Israel Russia, since there's not that much difference between Eved Russia and Israel Russia. That's a very extreme generalization.
Yes, it is a very extreme generalization. I mean, yes, especially Rav Elchanan is a very extreme generalization.
I meant Rav Elchanan, very extreme
generalization, especially since you can say what happens to Kol Yisrael Levim Zevazeh, etc. Yes, I admit it's a very extreme generalization. I'm not inclined to believe him, but, you know, you see where he's building off the Rambam.
Not inclined to believe him in terms of the Rambam, but in terms of Rav Elchanan, that's what he thought.
That is an interesting ha'ara. We know Rav Elchanan, so it you know, what you're claiming is this fits Rav Elchanan, perhaps even if it doesn't fit the Rambam, and yesh b'zeh mashu. It is interesting that the Rambam passes like the answer based on Mikdash, the Me'iri passes like the answer of Eved, and the Ramah passes like both answers. Mm-hmm. That is fascinating. Yes.